I love her. We're kind of experiencing the pre-stages of empty nest. Well, let me just say this. We're having more and more opportunities to truly enjoy one another's company these days. And I'm so glad I married her. Counting my blessings, baby. Counting my blessings. I asked Hal this morning, that last song that we just sang, if we could sing it again tonight. I'll read the words here in just a moment. But what fears do we have? What are things that we fear these days? Fear ISIS. Fear what's going to happen on November 9th. We fear financial fears. Rejection. Raising our children. Man, I tell you what, I was sitting there thinking about what you might say, and that was raising our children. Doing our best to see they turn out right, sending them on a date, sending them to the on a bus trip to wherever, going to the mall. Just my wife feared going to Walmart. Hey, they're real. Fears are real. Fears are very, very real, and that's going to become important because in a moment I'm going to speak to you about some scary situations in the Bible. And sometimes we can read those things and go, oh, well, that's just over the top. My situation is not as fearful as that might have been. Which ought to give us confidence that if God could work through something that bad, surely He can work through something in my case. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is part of this passage is one that is probably very familiar to some of you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 and following. I'm actually going to go through verse 12. Oh, I don't have anybody back there. So, no words on the screen tonight. You gotta dig it out in your own copy of God's Word. If you don't have one, there should be one under the chair in front of you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. And it says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity," or your version may say fear, "but of power, love, and discipline," or it might say, "of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to guard that which I've entrusted to Him until that day." Man, that almost reads like a song. Some of these songwriters, they're just cheating. They're just taking scripture and putting it to music. But that's good stuff, right? "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How many of y'all know that song? Yeah, yeah. This is interesting because Paul, everybody know who Paul is, right? Paul the Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared before him, blinded him. Paul, who was a persecutor of the gospel, now a professor of the gospel, teacher and preacher of the gospel. And he's started churches just left and right. Everywhere he went, he was sharing the gospel and getting people to start churches. And he would go back and visit and send letters. That's why 13 of these books of the New Testament were written by Paul. And he was writing these letters back to the churches to encourage them, to correct them sometimes, to instruct them. This particular letter, 1st and 2nd Timothy, are letters to a man named Timothy, whom Paul was mentoring and bringing up to be a what he's doing, what Paul's doing, to be a pastor, to be an apostle, to preach and teach and to carry on the work after Paul is gone. And he's writing to him. And it's encouraging to me, a pastor, that Paul is writing to Timothy, a pastor, and he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind." Paul was telling this young pastor not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of what? What men may do to me. Okay? What else could Timothy have been afraid of? Paul might have been concerned that Timothy would be fearful of. People? Okay. Let's keep in mind what was going on at this time. Where was Paul when he was writing this letter? Anybody have any idea? He was in prison. Why was he in prison? For preaching the gospel. And who was he writing to? A preacher of the gospel. Tell him, don't be afraid. Fear doesn't come from God, so preach on, brother. And so Paul is telling Timothy, look, even if there is suffering, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of rejection. Don't be afraid of whatever it is. Don't be afraid. If you are experience fear, realize that doesn't come from God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He says, if you got fears, you need to recognize first and foremost, that's not coming from God. Put your focus back where it belongs. And let God take care of the things that He takes care of. And you just take care of what God has told you to take care of. Stay focused on Christ. When I read back through the scriptures, I've just mentioned a note of some things that would have caused some fear. When I think of David standing before a giant, 9 feet something inches tall, with a big old spear and a sword here and an armor or helmet, whatever he had on, and just the shield bearer and all this stuff. And little David, this little shepherd boy, can't even wear armor. He's not big enough to carry the armor. And he's just out there with a slingshot. It's not this kind. Okay, it's a leather strap. It's just David. And now, I talked here a few weeks back, it's not just David's life on the line either. Because remember the challenge? Goliath said, hey, you send your best man out, and he and I will fight, and whoever wins, the other ones will be their slaves. So David's got the whole burden of the nation of Israel's freedom on his shoulders also. A lot to be afraid of, and in that situation, when I think about the Israelites crossing through the Red Sea, I mean, some pretty wild stuff, right? It's a sea, and then all of a sudden it splits open, and the ground's not even muddy where it went. So they're walking through there. And I just pictured this in my head about walking through these between these two walls of water, like the Bible tells us, the wind piled up the waters. And it was walking through. And I could just imagine walking through going, is it about to crash down on me? Look, I see a fish. That's a keeper right there. That's a big one. That one would eat me if these waters came down. What, you know, could you imagine the fear? And Moses just standing, saying, come on, keep coming. We don't have this recorded how he was leading them through there, but I'm certain in my mind that he was having to encourage them, let's go, let's get to the other side. It's open for us. God's taking care of us. Let's move. Let's keep moving. There's a man named Daniel. They put him in the lion's den, this cave. And they put him in there. That's a scary situation because what do lions do to people? They eat them. Lunch. Depending on your size, it may be an hors d'oeuvre or, you know, somebody like me, it's a three-course meal. But, yeah. And so Daniel is down in there and the other three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace, being just told they were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, right? Maybe an opportunity for a little fear, okay? That's right. I read this morning about all these 12 apostles plus Paul, 12 disciples plus Paul, and how they met their end, all except John, remember, because he's the one that God just said, not yet. Not yet. What was it he told? Oh, was it Peter? He told, what's it to you? What's it to you what I do with him? That's my plans for him are between me and him. All these disciples, how they met their end, crucified many of them, cut apart, skinned, all that kind of stuff, bad stuff, fearful situations. When I think of Stephen, who is known as the first martyr, the first one to die for the faith after Jesus Christ, and he was standing there, and he knew what was coming. What did he do? For two or three or four chapters, he just preached at him. He preached at him, knowing what was coming. He said, I'm in the spotlight right now. This is the only chance I'm going to get. And I got to preach it. And he preached. And then he stood firm and they began to stone him. And he looked up. And what did he see? He saw Jesus standing. I preached a sermon on that. What is one of the first sermons I wrote? The standing of Jesus. And how when you stand in honor of someone most often, right? And we read about Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father, but for some reason, this occasion, when the first one given his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ after Christ's crucifixion was just faithful and fearless and going there, and I just get this imagine like Jesus going, look at that. That's what I'm talking about right there. I could just go off on that, but that situation. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have had to stand before a 9-foot-plus giant in fear of your life? How many of you have been walking through a sea with afraid the waters may come down at any time? How many of you have been cast into a den full of wild lions that want to eat you? How many of you have been cast into a fiery furnace? How many of you have faced martyrdom, death, crucifixion? Anybody? So we may think that these stories don't apply to me, but they do. In each of these stories, and in your life and in your situation, I think these people had to get their eyes off of their situation. If the people just stood there in awe of this water, can you believe that? And if they were from East Texas, I ain't never seen nothing like that. Hey, Bubba, take a look at this. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get sucked in that. Oh, that cross they're building, that's for me. Ooh, they're probably going to try. Oh, no. What are they going to do? rocks? They're going to throw rocks at me? Are those going to hurt? You know, it's easy to get focused on that situation. But these people, they were able to get their focus off of their circumstances, get them focused on God's plan, God's leader that he's placed in front of them, like Moses or like Stephen, looking up and seeing Jesus himself. And is able to get their eyes off of their situation and focus on Christ. They were able to look beyond their problems and unto Christ. This song that I asked Hal to sing again for us tonight, or for lead us in, says, "You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. From my mother's womb you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." Does God love you? What kind of love does God love you with? Unconditional, godly? Is it a faulty kind of love, one that kind of wishy-washy? Is it a stid? It's a perfect love. And Scripture tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So just to kind of follow up on the message from this morning, that suffering is, you know, it's just something that we all have to deal with at some level. Some people go through more, some go through less, but everyone will go through some sort of suffering in this world. Doesn't matter if you're a good person or bad person or in the middle or whatever. Remember, I reminded us that Paul told us ain't none of us any good anyway. Not good enough, not perfect, right? But it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. It does matter, but not in the grand scheme of things, because God says, my love for you is perfect. Keep your eyes focused here. Focus. We tell our kids, look at me. Look at me. We may even do this. Look into my eyes. And I think that's what God's telling us. Look into my eyes and see that I have perfect love. Okay? Focus here. Focus. That stuff you're worried about, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've got it. It's all part of my plan. Focus, focus. My perfect love cast out fear. I think God has to remind me of that frequently. And chances are, maybe you need to be reminded of that too. That when we get in that situation and we, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to start looking, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this one gets elected? Oh, what if this one gets elected? There's no really great option. Then what's going to happen? It's easy to get wrapped up in that. What if my kids get involved in this? What if they come home and they tell me this? What if they had this happen to them there? What if my husband goes to work and meets somebody else and leaves me? What if? Lots of stuff to be fearful about in this old world. But God wants to remind us tonight, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Where does that power, that love, and sound mind come from? Anybody have a clue? Where does it come from? From God. Does God mess around when He gives stuff? No. So we need to realize and understand just who it is that's got my back. And I love what Job says. Even though he slay me, yet I will serve him. Is that right? Yet I will hope in him. even though he's slain, even if the worst thing I could ever think of could happen, it's not the worst. It may be ushering me into the very best thing that ever happened in my life. And that's when I get to see Jesus face to face. You see, it's a matter of perspective. It's how you see things. The problem is sometimes we lose perspective. We lose our focus. We lose our sight. And we start looking at all these distractions. The devil is the master of distractions. You know that? He loves to just throw stuff in there. Why? Because it keeps your focus. Your focus off where it needs to be. Have you ever noticed that when you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to devote this time right now to read my Bible or to spend time in prayer? Text message. Phone rings off. Fire truck goes by. Kids start crying. Does that ever happen to anybody? Anything you can think of starts happening? Why? Because the devil knows that right there, there's power. There's power that's happening right there in that moment. That you're learning, you're growing, you're stretching, you're expressing your dependency upon the Father who is all powerful. The devil wants to just distract you and pull things off. Pull your mind off of the situation of where it needs to be and get you to focus on all the peripheral stuff. I'm not saying that this stuff doesn't matter. It's not important. Don't give it a second thought. This is part of life. We have to. I mean, that's the stuff there. But don't get so wrapped up in it you lose your focus. I just had this picture of Stephen. They're getting ready to stone him. They are stoning him, and he looks up and he sees Jesus standing. And in that moment, I think he thought, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. I hope that we can all say, not pleasurable, don't like it, oh, but it's all worth it. Because I see the end game. I see how my story ends. I see how this thing ends, and it's good. It's good. If you don't know how your story ends, it's written down for you in the Word of God. It's a promise. And God is not a promise breaker. Aren't you glad for that? I just hope you're encouraged tonight that, you know, like I said, we all have issues. We all have things that we go through, things that aren't pleasant. That's just part of what we're going to be going through. Okay? But don't get so wrapped up in it you lose focus. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Keep your eyes focused on what His purpose for you is. And it'll make it worth it in the end. It'll make it worth it in the end. Does anybody have anything you want to add to that tonight? This has been a great day for me. This morning was fantastic. Thank you for that new song. I don't know that I'd ever heard it before. Had y'all done it here before? Yeah, I like that song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Why? Because I am a child of God. Next time you start feeling afraid, you just say that, hey, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child living God, and He loves me with a perfect love that casts out this fear. So devil, just get you behind me, Satan. Thank you all for coming back. Thank you for coming when you had to work in the morning, couldn't be here, or when you were off celebrating somebody's baptism, and that's just a fantastic time. But thank you all for being back here tonight. I hope you're encouraged tonight. I hope that you have hope and to never lose sight of that hope. Because when you hope in Christ, He will never, ever fail you. Okay? Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for these people. I thank you for our worship team. And I thank you for what's going on out in the gym and in the little building out here with our kiddos. And I thank you for everybody that makes all those things happen. So that we can come in here, Father, and we can worship. We can sit down and we can read your word and take some of those principles and those truths and realize that that's for me. That's written for me. That's not just a history book, and it's not just written for pastors, but it's written for me. God's promises are for me. God's love is for me. I don't have to be afraid. But thank you for that truth in Jesus' name. God bless you. I hope you have a good week this week. Keep your focus. Keep your focus.